Well, I think for many of us, or most of us, Christmas is obviously the best time of the year, especially if you're a kid. And probably it's the day waited for with more and greater anticipation than any other day. I think if we all just kind of took a moment and just kind of thought for a moment, we probably could all think back to maybe that one special Christmas, or that one that really meant more to us than others. And if you think about it, you know, which one was that in your life? And maybe what made it so special? And I bet if you were to pause and just kind of reflect and think, you know, you could bring things back, like, where are you? And who are the people that are around you? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? What are the traditions that made that particular Christmas so special? I know for myself, growing up, for the most part, it was, I'd almost say, same old every year. It was a very traditional thing that happened, you know, as a little kid growing up. Christmas Eve was always at our house. We always had ham for dinner. My sister and I normally would play games during the day, waiting for time to go pick up the relatives and bring them over for dinner. Same old every year. Christmas morning, opening the presents. It was the one day of the year my dad made breakfast. It was cool. Christmas day, after just kind of hanging out for a bit, was always out to my aunt and uncle's for turkey for dinner. Same old every year. But I think one thing is true, I think, for all of us. Christmas is a holiday that kind of draws out reactions. We react. We react to the things that we receive, to the experiences that we have, maybe even to the people that we are with. Good and bad, right? And the main reactions are to the gifts that we receive, but also, too, to the way maybe our gifts are received. It was interesting, if you Google anything, so you could Google tonight or tomorrow, because maybe you're in that situation where you're getting gifts, and there's actually a Google list you can find about how to react if you get something that maybe you're not all that excited about. Things to do, say, and the like. I kind of pared it down a bit. Some of my favorites about what to say, you could just say, well, you know, that could be something. Maybe you get something to wear and you say, well, I love it, but I fear the jealousy it will inspire if I were to wear it. I don't deserve this. You could say, as one person said, well, that's an interesting gift. You know, what inspired the story behind getting this thing? You could state what the gift is and then show gratitude. For example, like, a nose hair trimmer. You know, thanks. Or check it out, everyone, a marble-handled potato peeler. You know, show these things off. My favorite of all was, if you get something, advice, don't grimace or make a face. You know? Part of our Christmas and our reactions to it, though, if you think about it, it's about expectations. And I think expectations just have a way of just kind of overwhelming us, particularly for Christmas. Because those expectations just kind of come on us about how we feel we are supposed to feel. Sometimes we get that thing, you're supposed to feel this way, it's Christmas. Or maybe how it's supposed to be. Or how we are expected to react. And I think it's something that we have to fight. We need to at times, when maybe we get trapped in having put on us certain expectations about things connected with Christmas. Now, the first Christmas was filled with reactions. And the interesting thing is, when you look at the gospel account, they're all different. And I think that's a good thing. Because as we go through there, I think it's important for us to see that different people reacted differently. But all of them reacted to the one thing. And that's the content of the news or the announcement that was proclaimed and shared. And it was good news. Now, Luke in his gospel gives the reactions of the angels, the shepherds, the hearers, and Mary. But I think you have to stop and say, well, actually, technically, the first reaction was from God. Because he reacted to our need for a Savior. And then his reaction was offering his gifts and his Son, the Christ child. But God wanted to make the announcement of the birth of his Son. So the angels, they had good news that was to cause great joy for all people. The Savior is born, the Messiah, the Lord. And it's almost like the angels just could not contain the joy that was welling up within them. And so glory to God in the highest. They just outpouring of exuberance. And it's interesting, in Scripture, there are many references to angels rejoicing, and I think every single one of them have to do with salvation, salvation coming to people. And Jesus himself, in connection with a parable, said, there is great joy in heaven over just one sinner repenting. It just causes the angels, who truly know what this is all about, to just kind of break forth. And the magnitude of what the coming of the Savior means is expressed in their response. So the angels were the bringers of news to the shepherds. And it's always interesting, you know, none of the shepherds are ever named. But that's important. Because I think in that is the statement that Jesus just came for people. For people. Sinful people who were undeserving of what God wanted them to have. And God brought the joy of Christmas to those who recognized their need and understood the cost. And I think these particular shepherds understood the cost of sin. They understood that sin brings death and the shedding of blood. And why is that? I think a lot of people kind of believe that it's very possible that these particular shepherds were in charge of the flocks from which the temple offerings were chosen. And so they knew what probably was going to happen to those sheep that they tended. But now the Lamb of God had come, God's own Son, of whom all the other lambs had just been a symbol. And then we see the shepherd's response after the news had been given. And immediately, let's go to Bethlehem, let's see this thing. And it says, so they just hurried off and found the baby who was lying in a manger. And you can imagine what they experienced. A baby, small cave, wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough. And there's no real account of the first impressions, only their response. And it says, when they had seen him, they too just needed to spread the news, and it couldn't be contained. And so they spread not their experience per se, but what they had been told. In other words, just let other people know the meaning. And they told just what they knew, what they had been told, with the focus on Jesus. And it doesn't say who specifically it was that they told. It just says they went out and told people. And then those people also had a reaction. And the response of those who were told, it says they were amazed. Some translations say they marveled. They were just kind of blown away by the news that they had heard, overwhelmed by it. Shepherds returned. And it's obvious they just go back to their original work. And their work was the same, but they were not the same. And it's really only when you truly experience God's love while understanding your need to be saved that you really truly get it. And then there's Mary. It says Mary treasured or pondered what happened in her heart. What did she ponder? What Mary treasured in her heart maybe was that the baby Jesus, her baby, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, was the very embodiment of the news that would cause great joy for all people. Maybe what she pondered was that she was chosen. That in some crazy way, God in his love and grace and mercy said, Mary, I want you to be the mother of this child. Maybe she pondered or marveled what God had done for her, that this child is also my Savior. As one person wrote, her experiences were unique among those of all human beings, and yet she was a pattern for all mortals. She is especially a pattern for hurried, flurried, materialistic Americans who don't know how to ponder on anything, who do not know even faintly how to ponder upon God's actions in their own lives. How often do we linger after Sunday morning service to ponder on God's word that had just been preached to us? How often do we watch a sunset all the way through and just ponder? I don't know if we do a lot of pondering these days, but Mary was a beautiful example of that. You know what? There's no right or better response of these reactions that we see in Luke chapter 2. And again, that's a good thing. Some people break out in praise. Some are amazed. Some ponder. But regardless of how the reaction is, one thing is true. It was all because of news that they had heard. The news is the same tonight as it was back then. God entered into our world to show us the extent of his love for each and every one of us. And sometimes just reflection that comes from the Christmas season itself and reflecting on Jesus' story can maybe do something just to cause again to us to, maybe in a new way, reflect on what God has done for us. The Savior sent from heaven to identify with us, walk with us, die for us, be raised for us, and relate to us. I read a very moving article that expressed how one person reacts to Christmas these days. It was an article entitled, Christmas is a Happy Day for Broken Hearts. He says, we recently learned a difficult lesson, that the most special days can also be the most painful ones, and that sorrows are often amplified in festive times. It was just 2 short years ago that my son Nick was unexpectedly taken from us. He was a college student who was progressing well in his studies, a fiancé looking forward to his upcoming wedding, a faithful son, a loving brother. But then in an instant, he was taken, and our world was shattered. He says, if we have hope as a family, it is hope that is rooted and grounded in Christmas. If we have hope that our disrupted family circle will be repaired and restored, it is hope that begins with the birth of Jesus Christ. If we have hope that a day is coming when our sorrows will be soothed and our tears will be dried, it is hope that dawns on Christmas morning, celebrating the day Jesus was born to save the world. And so even as we grieve on Christmas, we do not grieve without hope. Even as we weep, we do not weep without comfort. Even though it may be a day of sadness, it is also a day of joy. For Christmas is just what we need in our most difficult times and our darkest days. Christmas is a happy day for broken hearts, when rays of light first pierced the darkness, when hope dawned after a long and excruciating night, the morning when Jesus was born. Beautiful words from a broken heart, but come to realize it was in the promise of the coming of the Savior of Jesus that is the very thing that he and his family needed and to recognize and to celebrate. My prayer for me, for you, for us, for all, is that just through all the noises of the season, the message of Christ's birth would be a source of comfort and peace. That beautiful title for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's with you, he's with me, he promises to be with us. That's why he came. And so the word as we close tonight is peace. Peace, because of who he is and what he has done. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Amen. We'll now take our offering.